Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. God's word from our gospel reading today, Matthew chapter 15, especially these verses 25 through 27. But she, that Canaanite woman, came and knelt before Jesus saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back in 2017, we got a dog. Maya is her name. She was the one I was taking out this morning when I got stung by a wasp. And from the moment we got her, we made the decision that we were not going to feed her from the table. We always heard that that's not what's best for dogs. I don't know what you do with your dogs, but I know that she would make it awfully hard for us to stick to our resolve. Because every time you'd sit down to a meal, Maya would sit there on the floor next to you, and she would put her paws up on your leg and put her chin on your lap and look at you with those little puppy labradoodle eyes and just melt your heart, you know. And it was everything inside of you wanted to give her a scrap of food from the table. And what's remarkable is that even though she never got a scrap from the table, well, never. She never seemed to give up hope that maybe this time we will finally give in, right? Maybe this will be the meal where something will fall from the table, or maybe we will finally crack and she'll get to scoop up some of our food. She was the embodiment of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Love hopes all things. You know, if Maya had just been around 30 or 35 years ago, when our kids were little, she'd have had a veritable smorgasbord under our table. But she never loses hope. And even to this day, she still does that, hoping one day she's going to hit the jackpot. That's what that Canaanite woman was hoping for in our gospel reading today. This poor lady, she had had some very rough days. Her daughter had been possessed by a demon. And this agent of Satan had attacked her body, apparently, severely, is what the mother says. It just must have been, I can't even imagine, as a mother, how it would be to watch your daughter attacked in that way and suffer in that way. But she heard that Jesus was in the area, and she heard that he was able to cast out demons, and so she went begging for help, like a dog might sit at its master's table, begging for a scrap of food. "Have mercy on me, son of David," she pleaded. "Please, please help my girl." And she went on so loud and so long that she began to get on the nerves of the disciples, and she became a nuisance to them. And they said to Jesus, "Get rid of her. Tell her to go away. She keeps crying out to us. Besides that, she's a foreigner and a Canaanite. And we all know how Canaanites are. Lord, tell her to leave us alone." And of course, the disciples are right about her being a foreigner and a Canaanite and how Canaanites are, you know. St. Mark tells us that she is Syrophoenician, which means that she lives up on the seacoast, on the north, just north of Israel, a place where the people are known for their false gods and their immoral practices. And according to the law of Moses and the customs of the day, Jesus owes her nothing to this beggar woman. He was well within his rights to simply ignore her, dismiss her, have her taken away, as he says to his disciples when they complain to him. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," as if to agree with them. It's a strange answer, isn't it? I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But the Old Testament predicts, and we read it in our Old Testament reading today, predicts that the Messiah's mission will be global. He comes for all peoples. Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John that he came to save the world. Why then does he say, I came only to the lost sheep of Israel? Well, here's why. He is setting things up to teach a lesson that his disciples will never forget. And so this woman, he allows her to stay, and she keeps on pleading, keeps on begging, kneeling before Jesus, Lord, help me, help me, help my girl. At which point, Jesus utters some of the most surprising words in all of his ministry. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Why does the Savior of the nations compare this poor, desperate mother to a dog? That is so offensive. In our day, we'd say racist. This is a Jewish superiority instead of a white superiority. This is a Jewish superiority. Compare this lady to a dog? But I think what's going on here is that Jesus is setting all of this up for that teachable moment. He recognizes the strength of faith that this woman has. And it presents him a golden moment for a powerful, teachable moment. And so he calls her a dog. Not that he really believes that about her or thinks that about her. He loves her and has come to this earth to save her. But just as our Lord knew that she would, she turns that insult into one of the most powerful examples of faith that we have in the Gospels. And instead of saying, hey, nobody treats me like that, that's racist, that's Jewish superiority. No, no. You hear what she says? Yes, Lord. She agrees with him. Yes, Lord. I am a dog, and I know it. But even the dogs will sometimes eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Her response to Jesus' insult is just magnificent in so many ways. She knows her place, and she accepts it. She knows that she is a beggar before God, that God owes her nothing. But she also knows who Jesus is. She knows of his mercy and his compassion and his kindness. And she takes this insult and she turns it into one of the supreme statements of faith that we have in the scriptures. Yes, Lord, I'm a dog and I know it. But Jesus, I know that dogs sometimes eat the scraps from their master's table. And I'm not going to give up on you and begging you for a crumb of your mercy. This Canaanite woman is just beautiful. She's like our Maya, never giving up hope that something might fall from the master's table and be a blessing to her. You know, so many of our problems, I think so much of our strife in our land, our racial strife and otherwise, and our strife in our interpersonal relationships, it all stems from an elevated view of ourselves. We think more highly of ourselves than we really ought. But the Bible, of course, you know what the Bible teaches us. We're all in the same boat. We're all born spiritually sick and blind. And I know, you know, we all accept that as a matter of doctrine. This is what the Bible teaches, and we accept it at that level. But oftentimes, when it gets right down to it, we get in our minds that somehow we're a little better than somebody else, a little more deserving of God's favor, Perhaps it's this idea that the customer is always right. You know, God is the store owner. He has everything, and we are his customers, and if we aren't pleased with his service to us, we complain, and then we are not satisfied until we have it our way. But we are not customers, folks. We are beggars. That's what Martin Luther said, famously said on his death. Well, he wrote it on his deathbed. When he, just before he died, Martin Luther was asked if he would die standing upon Christ and upon the doctrine that he had taught. And Luther said in German, Jawohl, if you know German, you know what that means. Yes. Yes, I stand upon Christ and upon this doctrine I have taught. And he died. And there was a scrap of paper next to his deathbed on which Luther had written the very last words that he ever wrote. Wir sein Pettler, hoc est verum. A little German, a little Latin. Wir sein Pettler, hoc est verum. We are beggars. It is true. We are beggars. And beggars can't be choosers. God owes us nothing. As the Catechism teaches us in the fifth petition, we are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. And we all need to remember constantly, as did that Canaanite woman, that everything depends upon the grace of God. As Scripture says, it is by grace you are saved through faith. That's not your own doing, it's the gift of God. The worst thing we can do is cop an attitude with God that somehow he is beholden to us and owes us something, that we deserve better. No, we don't. But instead, we have the beautiful example of this persistent prayer of faith of this dog woman of Canaan. Even the dogs will sometimes eat a crumb from the master's table. And all I beg of you, Lord, is a crumb. And just as we find it hard to look into the eyes of our dog and deny them, do you think Jesus can deny that prayer? But his gracious nature wants to feed you, wants to take care of you. And so the crumbs begin to fall. we said we never fed the dog from the table. Once in a while, a crumb might accidentally slip from the table. But it's no accident when it's Jesus. No, and it's not just crumbs. But his blessings fall in rich abundance so that we are supplied not only our daily bread, you know, the food, clothes, house, home, meat, drink, good government, good friends, good weather, health, peace, self-control, all those, every good crumb of his mercy. But in addition to that, as if that weren't enough, he provides us everything we need for the spirit and the soul. He forgives us our debts and our sins for the sake of his death and resurrection, washes away the stains of our past lives and our foolish errors, gives us his only Son as the sacrifice who takes away our guilt before God and prepares a place for us forever in the Father's house. And not only that, he then invites us to pray and promises to hear our prayers for mercy and to never stop praying. Pray persistently. And how do we know he hears us? Because he spoke our name in our baptism and joined us to him and to his salvation. And now he calls us to receive the gift of bread and wine, his body and blood and the Holy Supper, not just crumbs that fall from his table, but you are invited to the table, a veritable feast and a banquet of his mercy that falls to us dogs from the altar of his cross. As you know, this Canaanite woman of remarkable faith did in fact receive a crumb of Christ's mercy. She withstood the test of her faith. She stood up firm in her hope, and her daughter was healed. And the disciples and we learn a lesson we must never forget. So what needs do you have of God? Are you sick or maybe uncertain about your health or maybe afraid of what the future holds or maybe you're heartbroken or lonely or maybe bearing a burden of guilt of some kind? Take this woman's example of faith and plead for his mercy and his help, because his mercy endures forever. And you will receive just what you need. Well, maybe not what you wanted, but you will receive what you need. Don't be too proud to say to your Lord, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog, and I know it. But won't you let this little dog have just a scrap of your mercy? Do you think he's going to turn you away?" Never. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen.